Welcome to 247 Real Talk. I'm your host, Julian Perry. Once again, it's a pleasure to be here with you for another week and another episode. It's, as I look behind my camera at the clock, it's Wednesday, March 6th. It's just 6 minutes after 10 o'clock. Just came back out, or back inside, and it is pouring outside in Nassau County, and probably in all over New York City at this time. I don't know where you are in the country, but it is raining cats and dogs here. Like, I'm not going to complain because it's not cold. You know, even in the rain, it feels like spring has pushed its way on its march, and it's on its way up the road, and it'll be here shortly, and that's a lot to be happy about since I really hate winter. I hope you had a great week. I hope you accomplished everything you set out to do. Hope it was positive. Hope you managed to keep yourself uplifted and keep yourself focused and strong, irrespective of all the noise around us. Today is Wednesday, so yesterday, Tuesday, was Super Tuesday, where there was maybe 16 states that held primaries for the presidential candidates. And so, based on a few things that happened, I thought it prudent, thought it the right timing. I'm going to look at the side here to get it right. So I have a series going, Race to Power, Decoding the 2024 Presidential Chessboard. Who will shape our future? And this will be the second installment in that series. So sit back, relax. I'll be right back. So welcome back and let's get going. It won't be a long episode. I know I always say that and then I end up getting involved and drawn in, and I'll try not to do that. But I think, you know, I don't think the time or the amount of time is so important in terms of, I don't want to have it too long. But at the same time, I want you to feel me. I want you to hear what I'm saying. I want you to it to register in your lives and for you to find motivation and empowerment to make the next step in the same direction as we unite as a people to do what's right for us, to make sure that those that we elect understand they're elected by us to govern for us. So yesterday was Super Tuesday. Current President Biden won most of his primaries. He had a strange loss, I think, in the Americas Samoas to someone who has no chance at being nominated as the candidate. But yet, I think it was significant that he had that kind of loss, because you have to really wonder what people are thinking. On the other side, Nikki Haley stuck in there for as long as she could, but other than Vermont, I think ex-President Trump won all the other primaries, so maybe 15 out of 16. And so she decided it made sense to suspend her campaign, since the only thing she won so far is Vermont and D.C. Now, while I said that the American Samoa sows a ding in the armor of President Biden, the fact that Vermont and D.C. went to Nikki Haley also shows vulnerabilities on the other side. Remember, as I go forward, that I tell you all the time, I'm independent. I'm independent because I'm independent thinking. I'm independent because I will not be governed by the ideology of any party to the point where I have to follow their beat and dance to the beat of their drum. And dancing to the beat of their drum is sort of poignant at this time as we look at the Republican Party. I'm going to focus on them for a moment. And I'm going to pay them a compliment in the sense that they understand their goal. They understand that they want to retake the White House. They understand that the constituents, for whatever reason, have decided to stick behind ex-President Trump. they understand that if he becomes president, then the Republican Party becomes powerful again. So something that I've been asking on this podcast over and over for is something the Republican Party is doing now. They are suspending their differences and they're uniting behind ex-President Trump. I say that because someone who fought with him for years and was against him for years endorsed him shortly after Nikki Haley dropped out of the race, leaving him as the presumptive candidate because he has no other opposition that could matter, right? The speaker, the minority speaker, Mitch McConnell. Now, isn't that a slap in the face? Here is someone who fought against and who had differences with Donald Trump because he felt that Donald Trump had hijacked the Republican Party, which he has. There doesn't seem to be a single person in the Republican Party who can stand up to him, to Donald Trump, much less override him or get his constituents to think otherwise. And on the Democratic side, there's a lot of questions about Joe Biden, who just finished his annual physical and he got a clearance from the doctor, but people see the age in him. Let's pause for a moment and talk about age. My father is 92. And he is not in denial about his age. I am. A couple of nights ago, he sounded like, when I spoke with him, he sounded like he got a bit agitated at me because I sort of reminded him that he had repeated something to me before, or he should have known something. And for the first time in all our conversations, this very proud man who would not admit any vulnerability said to me, you know, I'm not the same as I used to be, and I'm not a young man anymore. I can forget things. To me, that was a major step for him. And in him making that major step, it made me realize that the problem was me. I'm the one who's struggling with dealing with my father aging. He's going about his life and doing the best he can and being the best he is. At 92, I think people may think a lot of different things like what goes through the mind of an older person. But really and truly, I think that he's almost living his best life because at that point, you come to certain realizations, I believe, and you're good with it. And I say all that to say that a leader of the United States is a tough job. But I don't believe that President Biden is not capable enough of doing four more years. I think for anyone to say that would be hypocritical because Donald Trump is not much younger. These are two elderly men running for president of the United States because now the single person out of 350 million Americans, and let's divide it in half. So let's say 175 million Democrats, just for making the numbers easy. Not a single person, male or female, it doesn't matter, could stand up and be counted enough to mount an opposition and say, I am worthy of being the candidate of the Democratic Party. The only credible person in my mind who was able to stand long enough with Donald Trump to say, here's an alternative, was Nikki Haley, right? The others, Chris Christie, Ron DeSantis, they all bowed out early. They seemed like, at one point, Ron DeSantis seemed like he would emerge and beat everyone down, but the Donald Trump engine machine is too powerful within the Republican Party. So this is going to come down to a repeat of 2020, right? Yes. This is going to come down to Biden versus Trump. And if I'm right, it's not going to be Biden versus Trump. It's going to be Democrats versus Republicans. It's going to be who can resonate, which candidate can resonate enough with its base to make sure that come rain, come sun, come snow, come sleet, come tornado, come hurricane, they're going to make it to the polls. Now, that sounds a bit extreme, right? But that's what it will take, that kind of commitment to ensure that your candidate, whomever you choose, wins. Now, again, I haven't gotten to the point of this series yet where I'm being more outspoken about each candidate and who I see more aligned with, because there's still, eight months to go. Oh, 9 months, because we're in the beginning of March. And a lot can happen. By the way, if you're hearing some knocking in the background, that's actually the rain pouring so hard. It's banging against the window out there, the rain and the wind. So, as I said, your vote will count. Now, we have a tendency, and I noticed this in Democrats more than Republicans. I'm saying Democrats because when you actually go to the polls, I believe you can go into the booth, and when it comes to circling, you can circle whomever you want, regardless of which party you registered with. But to say you're not going to vote is a problem. And I'm going to tell you why I bring this up. I had conversations with about three people, the same exact conversation. The first thing they said was they were completely disillusioned with both candidates. They gave me a list of reasons why they would not vote for Donald Trump. They gave me another list of reasons why they would not vote for Joe Biden. And in my response, I said to them, so which one is your lesser of two evils for whatever you believe in? The part that I struggled with and I couldn't seem to get through to them at that point was not voting is not an answer even for them. One may feel that one gets a certain amount of satisfaction from saying, I withheld my vote in protest. But then if you withhold your vote in protest, then whoever wins, if it is the worst of the two evils, and if that candidate turns out to enact policies that impact you so much that you're miserable, and that life gets that much harder for you, and that you're subjected to things that you thought were long in our past, or subjected to things that you thought you'd overcome, to me, you've also not voted for your right to complain. There are a lot of people out here who complain about the conditions and this and that and the other, so much so that they feel that their protest, their effective protest, is not to vote. Now, it so turned out that all three people I spoke with regarding this issue are people of color. And that bothers me even more because when we look at what those who came before us went through and fought for so that we, people of color, can stand in a booth today and vote, not voting because we can't decide to throw our hat behind the lesser of two evils is a slap in their face. We will never find a candidate who will be perfect for us. We will never in our lifetime find a candidate who will deliver on everything that we want them to deliver on and oppose everything we oppose. There is no such thing as the perfect candidate, which is why I hate this division of ideology of Republican and Democrat. There are fundamental policies in the ideology of Republicans that I agree with. There are fundamental policies in the ideology of the Democratic Party that I agree with. And on the same strength on both parties, there are those I oppose. There has to be a balance. Whether you love or hate a candidate, you can always find something to say positive about them. Their negatives may outweigh their positives, But my point is, if you have an issue with that, and you recognize that in states like, what was it, in Georgia, I think, the last election, President Biden won by 12,000 votes. And in an election of how many, 150, 160 million people voting, 12,000 votes is a sneak through. I think in Vegas or somewhere like that, he won by 11,000 votes. Sounds like a big number, but it's not. And a simple group of people saying, I'm going to withhold my vote in protest, can change the outcome of elections. As those numbers add up of people who decide that their effective action towards making life better, their effective action towards protesting something that they disagree with both candidates, they've got something on both sides, is not to vote at all. Especially if you're a person of color. I'll say it again. People fought. People died. People went through unthinkable pain and struggle and misery and sadness in a fight that we can go to the booth today. People of color, I am one of them, and vote. And I intend to always honor those people by exercising the right that they lost their lives, some of them, for, so that we in this day and age have the right to say we made a difference. As I said before, this election will come down to simply how many Republicans get out there and vote, Republican, and how many Democrats get out there and vote for the Democrats. How many independents get out there and vote for either one? Independents are a huge factor in this. And even on independent, and I'm not just talking about whether you registered an independent party, I'm talking about independent ideology too. I see things maybe not going as people think or they seem. I see a lot of people disillusioned in the Democratic Party, but make no mistake, I see a lot of people, especially older Americans, older Republicans, who stand for certain things, and younger ones, Gen Zs, who stand for certain things of inclusivity, and women who have not forgotten Roe versus Wade. These are all the different factors I see playing out come November 2024. No matter what you believe in, no matter which candidate you vote for, on the day after elections of November 2024, on the day after a winner is announced, the next president of the United States, the battle that you and I fight for will still be there. Things that happen and change and make a difference in lives of generations take time. It takes podcasts like this and others talking to groups of people and trying to energize them and incentivize them to stand up and start being a part of the solution, a part of the fight for change. And because we take so long to recognize that we all have a role, it takes that much longer to make a difference. The bottom line is, like I said, when the elections are over, those of us who are struggling with poverty will still struggle with poverty. Those of us who are struggling with paying for medications that are completely overpriced while the prescription, the medication, I should say industry, the big companies make billions, will still not be able to afford our medication. Those of us who are saddled with student loan debt will still be saddled with student loan debt. Those of us who are dealing with systemic racism, each time we go out there with all our qualifications, dressed to the nines, polite, well-spoken, and still can't get the job in an organization that practices systemic racism, will still face that challenge. Those of us who struggle to pay our bills when the end of the month comes will still face that challenge. these things will exist after the election in 2024. A lot of what will change depending on who wins, maybe foreign policy. Hopefully, the situation in Israel. Hopefully not, or hopefully no more of Russia-Ukraine, but something that settles and stops that bloody nonsense. And I say bloody, I literally mean bloody, bloodshed. Hopefully, someone who doesn't antagonize the rest of the world and makes the right choices so we don't move that much closer to World War III. But if you think that you have a candidate you like, if you think that there's a candidate that will make your life better, then no matter which side of the aisle you're on, you need to go out, you need to vote, you need to practice that right, whether you were born with it because you're a person who is privileged, or you received it after the fight was won by someone who fought to get the right. Either way, giving up your right to vote, not being a part of any kind of movement for change, is settling for whatever you get and whatever happens. And in which case, whatever happens, you can't complain because you lost your right. You lost your voice when you decided to fold your arms and sit on the sidelines and not be counted and not have an opportunity to be heard. This has been the second installment of the Road to 2024 elections. I will continue to bring these at least once a month as things unfold. And yes, there will be a time when you might hear in my conversations that I lean towards one candidate. But right now, I want to continue to remain neutral because I don't want to muddy the conversation. My role here is to uplift, to energize, to have you think and to have you act. And however you choose to do so, that is your right as a free individual in a democratic society. I'm not here to bias. I'm not here to persuade you one way or the other. But I am here to make you think. I am here to make you examine your circumstances. I am here to make you stand up, step up, make a decision, and stand up for what you believe in. As always, it's a great pleasure to speak with you. I'm getting tongue-tied at the end of my podcast. It's always a pleasure. I have to tell you that, again, I continue to see people gravitating towards the podcast. Slowly but surely, the YouTube channel is building. The online audio has continued its momentum. But I see more and more people listening, more and more people commenting, more and more people sending me emails. And you can do that at podcast@247realtalk.net. That's podcast@247realtalk.net. I do check that mailbox every day. It may take me some time to get back to you, but I will. Come to me with the positive conversations and we can have it. Don't come with hatred. Don't come spewing anger. Don't come because you disagree with something that I said and you just simply want to show hate towards me. None of that's tolerated here. This is about unification. This is about peace. This is about love. This is about moving forward together as one. And I'm here to do my role to keep earning my place on this planet and to keep fighting for what's right. I wish you an amazing week ahead. Do enjoy. Do be safe. For those of you who are in areas of bad weather, be careful. For those of you in areas of good weather, enjoy. And until we speak again in a week, please take care of yourselves and do take care of each other.